statistics released this week, the Federal Bureau of Investigation reported 500 murders in Chicago in 2012, up sharply from the 431 recorded in 2011. New York reported 419 murders last year, compared with 515 in 2011. But residents of Chicago and New York were much less likely to be victims of a homicide than residents of Flint, Michigan. 63 murders occurred in 2012 in Flint, a city of over 101,000, meaning one in every 1,613 city residents were homicide victims. Detroit was almost as unsafe. I'm Sean Scott Ferguson, IRN USA News.
A Texas man convicted in a 2002 gang-related killing of four women near the Mexico border is set for execution Thursday. The execution of Robert Gene Garza by lethal injection after 6 p.m. in Huntsville would be the 12th this year in Texas and the 25th in the United States, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. The women, all workers at a bar in the tiny town of Donna in the Rio Grande Valley, were the victims of a botched hit, a case of mistaken identity carried out on the orders of an imprisoned gang leader, according to an account of the case released by the Texas Attorney General's office. With IRN, USA Radio News,
USA News. The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, September 19th, 2013, and this is usually a time that Jeff and I will banter back and forth and tell
That's
you
right.
that there's a podcast, you know, at thefirstward.net.
I'll find some fault with Alan.
And then also a podcast mm-hmm. at alanskillicorn.com. But this is a special show because I was talking to a friend of mine, the treasurer of the state of Illinois.
You have a friend?
And he wanted on the show today to talk about the gubernatorial race. So, Mr. State Treasurer Dan Rutherford, are you there?
Alan, I'm with you. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually over in Edgar County, so I'm going between cornfields and dead cell zones, but I think we're good here for a little bit. Just going into Paris, Illinois.
Well, I got to tell you, Dan, I see you everywhere. I see you more than my wife. You must have clones out there.
Right.
You're doing this right. Apparently, you know, you've learned from the Bill Brady fiasco.
Bill Daly.
No, Bill Brady.
Oh.
Bill Brady did not campaign
okay.
enough. Dan is freaking everywhere. He is ubiquitous, as we say.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, actually, I was just left, was a speaker in Champaign this morning, was over in Coles County, Charleston, just coming into Paris, Illinois. I'm not driving it. Friend of mine's driving, coming into Paris, Illinois, which is in Edgar County, and then from there we're going to be eventually working our way down to Effingham and Mount Vernon and doing all these things in deep southern Illinois, and then I'm coming back up and we're back in the suburbs of Collier County and downtown Chicago.
I'm already tired.
It's a big state, isn't it, Dan?
But Dan, you know,
well, it is. And let me just say,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, it
is a big state, and I'm very sensitive. You know, we did very well in the city of Chicago. That's how I got elected as a Republican, as a state treasurer. We did very, very well in the suburbs and collar counties, but you got to pay respects, and I'm from central Illinois, and nowhere southern Illinois is, so we're going to be, literally, I'm going to be speaking Saturday night in Metropolis, Illinois. You know where Metropolis is?
I used to, but...
Do you know where Kentucky is?
Yes, I do. But isn't that where Clark Kent
is? It's right across.
Yeah, I was exactly thinking of Clark Kent in Kansas.
It's by the Kentucky border, isn't it? I think that's, you're right.
It is. It's right at the Kentucky border, right there. So I'm speaking there after having been on the roads three solid days, and then we're going to come back up and do the suburban Collier County campaign. So we're from the north to the south.
And you actually sound energetic. I mean, it's kind of, maybe this is because you don't have a family like the rest of us. I don't know how you do it, Dan. But
well, I love it. I enjoy it. I get invigorated by meeting people and shaking hands.
Well, obviously you do. But interestingly enough, the second Bill Daly pulled out of the gubernatorial race, I thought about you and everything you're doing. And it does take a person who loves the game to do what you do. I actually think when I consider what you have to do to win a statewide office, and that's the pejorative view. That's any candidate. I actually think Bill withdrawing from the race is kind of a moment of clarity, a moment of sanity in an otherwise insane political proposition.
Well, I think it did two things I don't want to say it's all about me, but I mean, you know, as I thought about it, what did it mean for our campaign? I think it did two things. I've always in my mind thought that I would be running against Pat Quinn. I didn't think Bill Daley was going to win. And as you look at what I did as state treasurer, I got 66,000 more votes as state treasurer than Pat Quinn got winning the governor's race. And there were less people that voted for state treasurer. So, I mean, there's a path that I can beat Pat Quinn as governor. So now it's clear that it's going to be my opponent. It's not going to be potentially Bill Daley. And the second thing that it did is it really helped put some oxygen back into the Chicago media market for opportunities for myself and the other Republican candidates to get some exposure. Because with the Daley Quinn fight taking place, they were just sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
That's definitely true. And go to those two points you made. In one, Pat Quinn is the luckiest man in Illinois politics.
Luckier than Barack Obama?
And,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he definitely is the luckiest man.
It's unbelievable.
And, Dan, you were able to, you know, actually win as a Republican statewide. You know, tell us what you learned in 10 and how that's going to help you in 14.
Sure. Well, let me make a couple of observations, gentlemen. In 2010, every single constitutional officer in the state of Illinois was a Democrat from the city of Chicago. I mean, every single one of them. And, you know, I stepped up to run as a Republican from central Illinois. And if you don't get 20% of the city of Chicago, all right, if you don't get 20% of the city of Chicago in a statewide race, you're not going to win. Hasn't happened in 100 years.
That's absolutely true.
Sorry?
I said that's absolutely true, Dan. Absolutely. That Bill
Brady
didn't get that, but go ahead.
Nope. Bill Brady got 18 and I got 22. Mm-hmm. You know, I won, he lost. There were four people in our race, a Democrat, a Republican, Libertarian, and Green. You know, I got 50% of the vote. So think about it. If you got four people running for one spot and one person gets 50%, that's a pretty substantial victory.
It is.
Then the other thing is there were 83,000 less people that voted for treasurer than voted for governor out of the millions. But yet I still got 66,000 more votes than him, than Pat Quinn got as governor. So there's a total path to win this.
Oh, I mean, I am officially declaring you the winner right now that Bill Daley's out of the race. So, Governor Rutherford. But to humor the folks at home, I mean, you've already got this one, Governor. Now it's come down to we know it's going to be Pat Quinn, like you said. And it's really going to come down to you, Bruce Rauner, Kirk Dillard, and Bill Brady. I mean, those are the guys. What, now that that's really the contest, what separates you from those three gentlemen in your mind?
Well, I think the abundantly obvious is I'm the only one that's running for governor of the Republican ticket that's actually won a statewide race. You know, some of these guys, this will be their third run at it, their second run at it. One of them's never, ever done it. And, you know, I don't disparage that, but the fact is this is not an easy state to win as a Republican. And it's not an easy state for anybody to win anything. And I'm the only guy that's actually done it. I mean, that's one thing that definitely distinguishes me. And I think the other thing is that I've got the compliment of being a successful businessman and having served in the public. Now, I understand some people, oh, well, you know, get rid of all those folks in Springfield, throw them all out. Well, this is a very complicated state to govern, and you have to understand and know the process of governance to be able to do the things we need to do. And I think I bring all of those skill sets to the table.
And, Dan, since now we're talking about, you know, Republicans running and winning the primary, let's talk about the Republican side of this coin. Just last night I was at a meeting, and they were talking about now that Bill Daley is out of the race, now the news is going to actually focus on the Republicans. So
I agree.
Is it going to be a slugfest between the Republican candidates, or are they going to focus on what a poor job that Pat Quinn is doing stewarding our resources?
Well, here, I'd like to tell you it would be about focusing on the Democratic incumbent. I would like to think that is what it will be. But unfortunately, I've seen some of the early forays into this by at least one of the individuals. I think that he's kind of, he's a little bit, maybe just doesn't play by the same rules that some of us play by. We'll have to see if he does that or not. I won't get into a lot of specifics right now, but I know that there's, you know, when you've got yourself more money than you ever need to have in a campaign, you know, and you're and you've not been in this business and having relationships, I think that it may be one of those do whatever it takes type of campaigns. And I don't think that the public will resonate to that. And particularly, I'm not sure that the public of the Republican primary voters is ready for, you know, a Chicago billionaire to be the leader of their, to be the standard bearer for their party.
And if the New York, recent New York races are any indication, money and negativity did not win. So you may have
a
point there.
Your question was, of course, how I thought it would go, and I explained that. I don't believe it will win. And the reason I say that is there'll be about 757,000 Republicans will go to the polls for the gubernatorial primary. I mean, the population is very defined. They're consistent. We know who they are. And the other thing about it is that they, you know, I think that they do look at the fact that, okay, somebody's been with us. They've been, you know, like myself, you know, I'm Dan Rutherford, and I've been in Coles County and Edgar County for their Lincoln Day dinner. I've been in Lake County to do fundraisers for the county board candidates. I've been, you know, out campaigning for Bob Dole when he ran for Congress. And, you know, so someone that's actually been there in the trenches, helping raise money for county board, state rep, Senate, Congress, township officials, mayors, someone that's actually been through the fray. And I believe that that's what the party faithful is going to say. Okay. And Rutherford's done a good job at state treasurer.
Dan, our producer has a question for you.
Dan, I want your running mate, Steve Kim. What can you tell us about Steve Kim and why did you choose him?
Well, the first priority was, you know, could they succeed me if I was incapacitated? So Steve is a quality individual and I think could play that role. For some reason, I couldn't finish the term.
Or God forbid, Dan, incarcerated, but go ahead.
No, that will not be an option. That is not an option.
I thought that came with the job, actually, but that's just, all right.
Go ahead. Dan. Sorry.
He can afford Sam Adams Jr. for more than one trial.
Okay.
I can put up with him for half of a trial, okay. I'll tell you that.
Go ahead.
But the other thing is, he's a business lawyer, and he's worked with bringing companies to Illinois from Asia and Europe. He's worked with helping companies export product that makes opportunity for jobs in the state. He's worked with companies here in Illinois to expand. So he understands what it's going to take to expand, particularly small and medium-sized companies. That's very important to me. In fact, I'm even naming him as my lieutenant governor, as the chairman of the Governor's Office of Job Creation and Retention. No more money to it. It'll use the current budget. And their job under the lieutenant governor will be to work with all the state agencies to help make it better and easier for job creation and retention.
That sounds like a pretty good idea. I want to ask about the other lieutenant governor picks. I mean, so far, you know, yourself, you've chosen one. Kirk Dillard has chosen one, and Bill Brady has chosen one. What are your thoughts on both Jill Tracy and Ms. Rodriguez?
I don't know Maria Rodriguez that well. We have met, I've heard good things. I want to be careful. I just don't know her, but I've heard very good things. I do know Jill Tracy. She's a quality lady and she's a friend. So, you know, we're going to have ourselves, you know, some people in this race that are going to just have to, you know, work through it all. The other thing I'd like to add though about Steve Kim is, and because of the first two points that I highlighted, the third came about as okay if the first two were there. I mean, Steve Kim is a second generation American. He came here as a 3-year-old from Korea with his mom and dad. They are Americans. They worked hard and he would be the first Asian American ever elected statewide in the state of Illinois. And I think it's important for us as Republicans to embrace and bring in communities of diversity. Well, and I've said this for many, many, many years, and I think that this is a good start for us.
Well, I hope he's not the one driving you right now, Dan. But all
no one is allowed to laugh.
Not.
But Dan, now that you've won the race, now that I've called it and you've won, there
now
is
a... We got to work it through.
There is a certain zen to what Bill Daley said when he pulled out. He said, I could have won. That's why I quit. And I tell you, I wanted to, give him a high five. Getting elected governor of Illinois is like, I don't even know what simile to use. I'm so lost. And the fact that you have this job so badly makes me question your motives. I mean, is there, do you understand the magnitude? I'm sure you understand. Explain how you will face the magnitude of this gig when you win. in a state that's going down faster than the Titanic.
Sure. And, you know, I respect your comments. I do understand the magnitude. In fact, I'm the treasurer of Illinois. I may understand the magnitude better than many others in this state.
Good answer, Dan.
So I totally understand the magnitude. But what I will be as governor is I'm going to be the chief marketing officer of our state. Right now, it is so bad that businesses and people are walking around with their head down and avoiding eye contact. They are just so down. This state is a great state. There's so much positive about Illinois, and I could go through everything from our schools to our energy and power and geographic location and transportation and high-speed internet infrastructure, all of those things that make us a great, great state.
And I'm going to be a governor. Dan, Chicago just passed New York as the murder capital of the country. Don't forget that.
Well, you're welcome, by the way.
But we got to fix that, too. There's no reason that I should look, or you should look, at a Monday morning Chicago newspaper and find out how many black kids got shot over the weekend.
You're absolutely right. It's ironic that the city, the single-party Democrats that are in control there, look the other way. And they, in no less words, they let it happen. It's on their watch.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be a governor that's going to talk to positives about Illinois. I'm going to use the governor's mansion. So when we get the company that's coming in from Seoul, Korea, that's looking to do a solar power plant or solar panel manufacturing facility in the north suburbs of Chicago, I'm going to entertain them at the governor's mansion. I'm going to say, we want you in Illinois. I'm an international businessman. I respect you. We need you. We want you. I'm going to be the guy that's going to go to the small communities with Canton, Illinois. We've got Cook Industries that's opening up and groundbreaking for a small facility to employ 40 or 50 people. I'm going to be the governor that's going to be there and say, this is great. We need you. We want you. See, that's what we don't have in Illinois today. Now, there's a lot of problems we got to fix, too, but we don't have ourselves a chief marketing officer that's going to say, Chris Christie, you're flying in from New Jersey. You go back home. This is a great state.
Rick Gary, come on in from Texas.
Spend money with us.
On that point, are you going to look more to recruiting in almost like stealing companies from other states or retaining Illinois companies? What's a greater importance to you?
I think it's a good word. No, I understand. Here, I'm going to make sure that we have ourselves a good infrastructure in place that small companies here will want to become medium-sized companies. And companies that are looking to have a location across the border will say, no, I want to stay here in this state. I think the idea of us expanding our base is where we should be putting our focus. The idea of stealing or recruiting other states and stuff like that, you know, people don't pick a state because a governor calls on them. Now, it is a part of the seal of the deal at the end, but I want to have our companies have more opportunity of exporting their products, so they have to employ more people because they have the opportunity to have it as a part of their P&L. It is growth within small businesses and medium in our state of Illinois is where my focus is going to be as governor.
And that is the correct answer. That's what I was looking for.
And by the way, congratulations on Steve Kim. You know, I don't know if you and I talked about it or if it was Senator Dillard, but my thought was pick somebody. You know, remember the LaRouches? We don't want the George Sangmeister thing happening. You want to pick someone like Jeff Ward, Steve Kim, not Alan Skillet.
Scott Lee Cohen.
Scott, yeah. So you did a good job there. He'll probably, you know, be right there with you when you get elected.
Hey, Dan, I have one more question. I asked this to Bill Daley before he resigned, or before he dropped out. So this might be the tiebreaker here. Your name as Dan Rutherford, how is that going to sell in Chicago? Is it going to sell down in southern Illinois?
Well, you know, I think the public has kind of gotten past names. If you mean as far as having a reputation or ethnicity tone to it. I think as far as the reputation, I think that the Rutherford name has been good. I mean, I've been in elected office, and I think we've done a very good job as state treasurer of Illinois. I don't see any negative connotations to it like you might have other names. And as far as the ethnicity names, it's kind of vanilla. You know, it's not
and
a Bulgarian bitch. It's kind of vanilla.
It did happen, but no, that sounds great. And again, if you get 22% of the Chicago vote, you've won. And well, and
I'm going to get more than 22%. I'm going to get more than 22% this time.
I'd love
Keep in mind,
it.
I was running for treasurer. I was running for treasurer, and that was not a high-profile office. By the time I get done working in a high-profile campaign as governor of Illinois, and I'm going to work in the Asian-American communities, the Latino communities, the African-American, the Eastern European, I mean, I'm going to be in communities that are not Christian, people that are Sikh and Shinto and Buddhist, Jewish communities. I am going to be the Republican that's showing up where most don't, and that's the part of my belief of our success.
God bless you, sir. I've been, you know, Republicans are threatening to shut down Washington again. I've already welcomed President Hillary Clinton in 2016, and the Republican should be the party of inclusion, not exclusion, the party of solutions, not the party of obstruction.
And please don't try and get bar mitzvah just for the Jewish vote. That's what I'm saying.
Actually, hey, Dan, just one last question. We only got a minute or two here.
Sure enough.
You were chairman of Mitt Romney's campaign, and you definitely mentioned the millionaire-billionaire issue. How, what did you learn from that campaign concerning Illinois and you know, the big loss across the country, including Illinois, you know, to the millionaire-billionaire issue? What did you learn from that?
Well, yeah, and there's a difference across the country in Illinois. I mean, keep in mind, I took on the job, and with a great pleasure. I really like Mitt and Ann Romney. I've worked with them for their previous campaign. I was the chairman of it then. I was the chairman of this campaign. I mean, we were definitely pushing a noodle up a rope here in Illinois with Barack Obama's home state. So it was abundantly, abundantly difficult. But I think if anything I learned out of that is that, you know, that you gotta be who you are. I mean, I was sitting in the car with Mitt and Ann Romney. I was sitting on the airplanes with Mitt Romney, and the guy is funny. He's humorous. He's a conversant guy. He's just, really friendly guy. He didn't come off that way in the public and the media. I think
he came off somewhat
stilted. And I don't know how or why that happened, but I think if anything I've learned is you've got to let who you are be who you are, even under the hot Surrey spotlight of the public.
I completely agree. And before we part company here, I just want to say that Jack Cunningham, our Kane County clerk, sends you his best regards.
Oh, good. Tell Jack hello, too. He's been a friend of mine for years.
I will.
And, you know, I'm sure your people are listening. I mean, I'm sure all your fans and also your staff are listening because this is, you know, WRM AM 1410, you know, big powerhouse here in the suburbs. But just a reminder, Kane County GOP has a golf outing Monday.
Ooh.
You know, hopefully yourself or Steve Kim could be there, even if you just join us for cocktails or dinner afterwards.
I am aware that it's going on. I think, though, unfortunately, my schedule's got me someplace else. But I've been to Kane County. I'll be back at Kane County. And when I'm the governor, I will absolutely be back to Kane County.
We always look forward to
I have
to
one
seeing.
More question. Dan, if we happen to have put together a debate, are you going to be here? Can you be here in studio for Left Run U with the other candidates?
This is one of those, I'm all about it. It gets down to technical and scheduling.
Gotcha. All right.
We understand. We know.
All right.
Well, you can probably do it from the road, too. But thank you for joining us. This was Dan Rutherford, the Illinois State Treasurer. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I just want to say I enjoy being on with you guys.
What's your website so people can look you up?
You know, thank you. It's danrutherford.org. Just my name, danrutherford.org. We're also on fan page on Facebook, Rutherford Dan. And we're on Twitter, Rutherford Dan. And Alan and Jeff, I appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a wonderful afternoon.
We appreciate you joining the show and the fact
appreciate
that you
it.
Take our humor in stride. Thank you so much, Governor Rutherford.
And we're gonna go to break right now. This is WRM 1410 and Left Right and You. So last night I couldn't sleep. So I got my laptop going. And fortunately, when you're sitting in bed, it gets hot, doesn't have a good airflow. You know, even though it's a cool night, it's still uncomfortable.
Well, I got the solution for you. I invented a product called the Lapinator. And you can go to www.lapinator.com. It is a laptop.
You might have to spell that.
Lapinator. I found out in French it means rabbit killer, but, you know, so much for brand name testing.
Yeah, you're not going to be very popular
in
France.
No, not in France. But basically what the Lapinator is, Ellen, it's a portable insulated laptop desk that not only keeps 95% of laptop heat off your lap, so I don't have to get the fire extinguisher out every time you use your laptop, but it keeps your laptop 11 degrees cooler with no moving parts.
So, hey.
That's great. And heat does damage electronics.
We sell all our products through Amazon, so, you know, you can get shipping free. Go to www.lapinator.com, www.lapinator.com.
Hi, this is Alan Skillicorn. Here's a reminder that Odyssey Forge offers creative, custom, and unique internet solutions. Looking for more security or two-factor verification? Odyssey Forge has a solution for you. Do you want a custom WordPress site? Odyssey Forge can customize the popular platform. What about secure e-commerce? Odyssey Forge will develop an attractive site easy to use for you and your customers. Check out www.odysseyforge.com or see my Odyssey Forge-powered site, alanskillicorn.com.
Got that summertime, summertime sadness, oh.
And we're back!
We're back, and we're talking about summertime, and now that summertime
is waning.
Ending.
In fact, tonight it is the official harvest moon, that full moon, that the harbinger of all things autumnal. So, that, and of course they
the
call
equinox
it
a, is coming up.
They call it a harvest moon because farmers used to get in the harvest by the light of the moon. They'd work around the clock.
And now the crops are genetically engineered to...
Monsanto has patents on every bleep.
Neil Young, right? Harvest Moon? Is that...
But hey, to our listeners, if you do want to wait, we're going to move on to talk a little bit about Bill Daley, but if you want to wait in on Dan Rutherford's, or Rutherford, I think as he pronounces it, call, please call us. That is 847-931-1410.
Yeah, and before we jump into Bill Daley, there's two events that I want to mention.
Two events.
That one here in Elgin, you know, the Vietnam War, you know, 60,000 Americans we lost there. I mean, almost every family was touched. Well, there's a touring miniature wall as a memorial going on. It's going to be in Elgin this weekend, starting today through Sunday. And my wife and I are both certified therapy dog handlers. Mm-hmm. And our dog is a registered therapy dog. So we're going to be there Saturday volunteering. So I hope that people can, you know, kind of come out. I mean, obviously there's people, I'm sure there's people in our listening audience that were affected by this war. You know, lost a sibling, lost a father, lost somebody. And come on out, experience it, and you have an opportunity to meet us. And also, you know, for you King County GOPers or DuPage GOPers or McHenry or even suburban Cook County GOPers, the King County Republican has a golf outing here in Elgin Monday. So look it up at kanegop.org.
And I'm going to throw one in there.
Go ahead.
A week from tomorrow, the Elgin Township Republicans at their annual gala are honoring my boss,
Jack Cunningham,
Kane County Clerk Jack Cunningham, for his many years of service. It's just $35 to get in, and if you want to support a great guy and a great cause.
I even bought an advertisement in their book to congratulate Jack on his years of service.
Ooh.
And his, you know, upcoming re-election.
Yes, yes. So is it...
So we're going to get into someone who's not going to get elected.
No, apparently not. But Alan, I got to give Bill Daley credit. He was honest when he came on the show. As you know, he talked about not all patronage is bad. He had very nice things.
Yeah, he loved that.
He had very nice things to say about Governor Rutherford, as I like to call him. And I think that there are folks who say he had no chance. I think he looked at the enormity of it. I think he got excited at the possibility. You know, he's been in the milieu for so long. He got excited about the possibility. And suddenly realized what it meant, what a statewide campaign meant, what holding office meant, and thought, you know what? This is just not for me. This isn't me at 65 years old. And it's funny, the fact that he did that makes me want to vote for him even more, even though I would have voted for Dan over him.
Here's where we get to this. I don't think he was ever in this race from the beginning. And this is, you know, where we disagree, is that, okay, so Bill Daley went out and hired Pete Giangreco. Pete Giangreco was the mastermind behind some of the strategy of Barack Obama. He basically had that whole spin going, but there was no campaign there. There were no boots on the ground. There were no committeemen. There were no petitions. There was no lieutenant governor candidate. I think that the timing of this is quite ironic, that a week ago petitions came out, so he needs to get, you know, X number of thousand signatures to get on the ballot. He didn't have a single volunteer to do that. He didn't have anyone to run for lieutenant governor with him because he never asked. I don't think he was even running for office. I think he was just doing as the bloody up Pat Quinn.
For what purpose, though?
I think
he doesn't need any money. He doesn't need another position. He could go back to Washington
if he
wanted to. Here's
the thing. Lots of Democrats in Illinois realize that they're in trouble. They see what the state's going through, and they know that if they don't clean up their own act, they're going out too. And that's what it is. I think that there's a lot of Democrats that are out there going, this is not working. Pat Quinn is incompetent. Just like I said that Dan Rutherford, that he's not stewarding our resources.
Right. Pat Quinn is not a leader. And he got in, again, you know, people say Barack Obama was lucky. Steve Chapman, Chicago Tribune columnist. I would challenge Steve to look at Pat Quinn's career because, again, let's review briefly for our listeners. He became governor when Rod LaGuardia.
But even before that, let's go way back. Okay. You know, he was out of college, and he became a staffer, a no-show worker for Governor Dan Walker. Mm-hmm. At that time, he was making good money as a no-show guy, mm-hmm. just doing his political hack work for that. You know, Dan Walker was a pretty corrupt governor, and he was one of those cronies.
How could you tell?
And he always ran as Pat Quinn always ran for stuff as a reformer.
He did.
He was no reformer though. He was part of the combine, and you know that's the thing. He basically pulled the wool over voters' eyes. I think insiders knew this, and it really translates to this race. So the insiders, you know, if you talk to the people in the legislature, they dislike Pat Quinn. But if you talk to the committeemen on the street, you know, the precinct captains in Chicago, they all endorsed him. Mm-hmm. So there really was no avenue for Daley to win, but it was an opportunity to bloody him up.
Well, he did. And then, of course, his biggest stroke of luck was being lieutenant governor, which has been fairly meaningless in the state of Illinois, when Rod got tossed by the legislature and he moved into the governor's office. Then he ended up facing off against Bill Brady, who decided one does not need to campaign in Chicago. And despite a promise to raise taxes, he won.
You know, and our listeners are pretty smart, and they also know that they look back at that 2010 race, and it was a little goofy. You know, look at lieutenant governor picks from both parties. Mm-hmm. You know, Democrats, you know, nominated Scott Lee Cohen. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Madigan wasn't going to let that happen. He found a way to kick him off the ballot. I don't think Scott Lee Cohen got anything. He spent $2 to $3 million to win lieutenant mm-hmm. governor's seat, and he got kicked off the ballot. And as far as I can tell, he didn't get a dime. He didn't get any favors back. Nothing. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell Mike Madigan runs the party.
Right.
But then look at the Republican side. You had Bill Brady, who's you know from Bloomington Normal, you know mm-hmm. Southern Illinois.
Central.
Well, here. Outside of Chicagoland, you call anything
that
outside of Chicagoland, Southern Illinois. Unfortunately,
DeKalb is Southern Illinois, outside of Chicago.
But he, you know, he's from Bloomington Normal. You know, he's probably a rock star in Bloomington Normal, but in the Chicago media market, he's not a rock star.
No, he's not.
He's not a great speaker. You know, and he really wasn't a compelling leadership choice.
And he didn't work hard enough.
And look who won the lieutenant governor spot: Jason Plummer from mm-hmm. far Southern Illinois. So you had two country bumpkins. Mm-hmm. And a state that's dominated by not just Chicago, because Chicago only controls a couple million, you know.
But Dan pointed out that when he got elected, every single major statewide office holder was a Chicago Democrat.
Oh, yes, definitely. Before
so
Dan was elected,
matter.
Before 2010, that was the case. But still, people in power, really, mm-hmm. the meaty power is still, you know, Mike Madigan, Chicago, Cullerton, Chicago, Pat Quinn, Chicago, Lisa Madigan, Chicago. You know, that does say something. But Chicago, even though they're not the biggest part of the state, because really the suburbs, in my opinion, are. But Chicago and the suburbs together are a force. And when you have two guys from deep Southern Illinois trying to win over that Chicago media market, it's tough.
Well,
and they never had any exposure up this way either.
Didn't even bother to visit. I mean, Quinn was not.
Now, Bill Brady, Bill Brady's been on our show before.
Yes, he has.
And
a number of
he
times.
Says that, hey, I spent most of my time in the suburbs in Chicago. That very well might be true, but he was still an outsider looking in. Mm-hmm. He never had that experience here. Whereas if you look at the field now, I mean, okay, Ronner is Chicago-centric. You got to admit that.
Absolutely.
You know, Dillard, he's from the second biggest county in the state, DuPage. You know, it's like, you know, the mm-hmm. headquarters of the Republican Party is DuPage County, they always say. And Kirk Dillard's from there. He used to run the Republican Party in that county.
Although Barack Obama took DuPage County last round. So
he
that's,
did.
That things are changing.
Did.
So
well, I think even in 2008 he did too.
Yeah.
Then you look at, you know, obviously you've got Dan Rutherford. He's a downstater, but I have to admit, I've seen him in the city more than other guys. Dan Rutherford's been running for governor for, you know, 6 years.
Yes.
Not as bad as Bill Brady, who's been running for 12.
But that's what it takes.
But he's been in Chicago. I've seen him in parades in Chicago. And he is part of the Chicago media market. So it is a good race. Timmy Lins, our old, co-host here, he brought up, Maria Rodriguez. And I know her too. She's an impressive pick. She is the pick for Bill Brady. And I think that that's actually a really good pick. I'm really impressed because, you know,
she's from Long Grove, right?
Long Grove. She's former mayor of Long Grove. She ran for Congress, and, you know, she's politically active.
Joe Walsh beat her when she ran.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I had looked at numbers by how much, but she's definitely politically active, and she's
intelligent. I think Don Henley beat her, too. Yeah.
Well, your theory,
I want to talk about the lieutenant governors for a second, because obviously Bill Daley does not have one.
Right.
I don't think he even had the conversation because he wasn't a serious candidate. Quinn, I don't know if – I think he's probably having a hard time finding one. Maybe Mike Nolan will be on the Quinn ticket.
Isn't Miss Simon going to continue?
No, she – okay. Sheila Simon said a few months ago that she had no intention of being Pat Quinn's lieutenant governor again and would not run with him.
Okay.
So she pulled out of the ticket. She's actually running – trying to run against Judy Barbatinka for comptroller.
I knew that.
But look at – I just see the other – the lieutenant governor is at this new law where they changed the law because of Scott Lee Cohen, and is that the governor candidate picks their lieutenant governor. It has added a neat new twist. So right now, Bruce Rauner hasn't chosen anyone, and Pat Quinn hasn't chosen anyone. But look at the ones that have been chosen so far. Kirk Dillard chose Jill Tracy. Mm-hmm. Jill Tracy was a safe pick but not a great pick.
Right.
You know, she doesn't have a lot of damage, you know, goods to her, but I don't think her is super impressive. I disagree with Dan Rutherford about Steve Kim.
I'd say it's the same thing about Steve Kim. He's a good pick, but not a great pick.
There are, you know, Asian Americans that could, you know, would be welcome to embrace the ticket, but numbers are low. Not as many as African Americans or Hispanics. So it's not a huge demographic. He's a safe pick, not a great pick. I mean, he ran against Lisa Madigan, did horrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that, but I really think Rodriguez from Long Grove is a great pick. I think she's better than Bill Brady. That's a ringing endorsement.
That's interesting. But again, when you listen to Dan talk, whenever he engages us on the show, you can excuse my allergies, please. Autumn is my worst time. You can hear his energy. He enjoys what he's doing. He's psyched. He's everywhere at once.
And you have to be
to
do well in this.
That's the point.
Gig.
Yes, there are some politicians that have a cushy life. Mike Madigan is king for life. Then there's a few.
I don't think he has a work ethic of no other.
He
doesn't even stop for lunch. He'll eat an apple while he'll rip your guts and soul out.
But there's this fallacy that these are cushy political gigs, and the truth is, if you run countywide, Alan, it's a real tough road to hoe. And if you win, you had to pay your dues. This kind of thing in this kind of media environment doesn't happen overnight. It's rare that somebody blunders into something. So I don't blame
Bill Daley. Pat Quinn blundered into a lot of things.
It's rare.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. Mike Nolan. I know Tim Elins will like that comment. But I don't blame Bill Daley for – maybe your theory's right. I'm not so sure. But I still think to some degree he was – I think he went into this with reasonable intentions – but the enormity of it hit him, and then maybe you're right. Maybe he decided.
Well, look at when he a couple of days ago he was in a phone interview with Greg Hines from the Cranes, and he basically said that this was going to be his crowning achievement.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk about he wanted a better Illinois.
Well, he did with us.
But was that a talking point or was that the truth?
Okay.
I mean, here's a guy that is a very successful banker, very rich. He could retire today and spend $100,000 every single day on whatever little trinket he wants for him and his wife, and he'll never run out of money the rest of his life. I mean, money is not a goal for him anymore.
Not.
He was chief of staff for the president of the United States. I mean, he was in the White House twice.
Right.
Okay. I really believe that when he says this was his crowning achievement, I think it was his ego talking.
It could be. But egos do get the better of politicians all the time. What I like about Bill is that it wasn't powerful enough to keep him going.
So what do you have to say about when Bill said in an interview after he withdrew that Pat Quinn can't win?
He's dead on. I've said it all along. That's why I just named Governor Rutherford the winner. Pat Quinn cannot win this election. The Republicans,
are you willing to put – see, I'm a Republican, and I'm going to ask you if you want to put money on that.
I'll put money on it.
I can't either way, but
I will put my, I will tell you what, if Pat Quinn wins, we will sacrifice a virgin, Dave Weiser, our producer.
Gulp.
So, yes, I would put money on that Pat Quinn cannot win in Illinois. It will not happen again. Unless every single Republican gets caught on candidate, gubernatorial candidate, gets caught on their front lawn.
Why is
with
Jeff
the
getting
sheep?
His knives out right about now? I don't know what this is going on here.
Pat Quinn cannot win this. I am as sure of that as anything in my life.
And we now have that recorded for our prosperity.
On tape. It will be
and
Governor Rutherford.
It was nice
Rutherford.
Meeting everybody. I honestly, can I disagree with you?
You can.
All right. I honestly think that I think Governor Quinn is going. I mean, look, he was the one who said he went out in public and said I'm raising taxes, and they still elected him.
They won't make those mistakes again. Dan Rutherford will not make the ground game mistake. He will not make the staying out of Chicago mistake. And he won't be playing poker with his buddies.
I don't.
What if Bill Brady wins the nomination for the Republican ticket?
That won't. If I may have. Now, you've brought up the one time I may have to reconsider. But I don't even think Bill Brady will make the same mistake.
So let's go through the choices here. What if Bruce Rauner from Chicago wins? And he's the nominee.
He has no chance. If he won, I might have to reconsider.
He has no chance of winning the Republican primary or winning the general?
Winning the Republican primary. He has zero to none.
So everyone at home keeping score, Bruce Rauner, according to Jeff Ward, is zero.
Zero.
So what about Kirk Dillard?
Kirk Dillard crushes. Kirk Dillard would have beat Quinn the last time. He will beat Quinn this time if he gets
nominated. Can Kirk Dillard win the primary?
It will.
I feel like a bookie.
It will be difficult against a candidate that holds.
So you're giving like a half
office, but I don't want to count Kirk out because he's not dumb.
Okay.
What was it? Dillard versus Brady last time during the primary, right? The last.
Well, it was also seven other.
Yeah.
Yes. Goombas.
Well, again, it's the night's still young. I mean, the list could grow, right? I mean,
it's very unlikely.
When do they have to file? When is the last?
Christmas Eve. It's very close to that.
I think petitions are due in December.
Right.
But realistically, you can't. This is something you've got to be.
Look,
Bill Brady's been running for 12 years.
Right.
Dan Rutherford's been running for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk Dillard is probably running for 6 years.
Right.
You know, Rauner got into this, and you know he's already been having. He already has TV commercials out for 6 months.
I know.
So this is not something that you jump into.
Well, I remember
into
years
in
ago, was it Gidwitz? Is that the guy?
Yes, Ron Gidwitz.
Billionaire Ron Gidwitz. And, I mean, he barely made a blip for the primary.
And Rauner's campaign seems completely disorganized from everything I've seen. So that does not bode well.
So I'm not going to make a prediction yet because I'm not in this game to make predictions. I'm in this game for solid policy and saving Illinois.
Right.
So I want to save Illinois. I'm not so interested in.
I also do think Dan Rutherford is the best candidate. I truly do. I think he will serve Illinois.
I think any of those Republicans will I don't want to say beat Pat Quinn, but can actually do a better job than Pat Quinn because he really hasn't been a steward of our resources.
And that's Bill Brady has always made me nervous. We have a caller, Dan.
We have a caller. Pete wants to ask a question to you regarding the governor's race. We have Pete from Elgin. Pete, you're on Left Right.
Pete, you're on the air.
Yes.
Don't swear.
Good afternoon. I'd like to ask you, there doesn't appear to be any major contested primaries on the Democratic side with Bill Daley's pulling out. That Democrats and independents in Illinois will vote in the Republican primary if it becomes seriously contested for a candidate like maybe Bruce Rauner or someone else or... Do you think there's a possibility of that people will take a Republican ballot because there are no contested races to speak of on the Democratic side?
Even Bruce Rauner did that in 2006.
Yeah, I think the independents will take a Republican ballot regardless. But I do. I think that's a possibility, and it certainly has happened in the past.
Yeah,
however,
and Democrats do, and sometimes they do it for a couple of different reasons. One, they want to vote against the same guy twice. two, they might actually be interested in having better policies. So if there's one guy that scares them, they might vote against that guy.
Right.
Or they want to vote for the weakest candidate.
Exactly. And in this, though I think some candidates are weak, we don't have one that's so outrageously weak. It's going to attract that kind.
Well, it's interesting that someone would vote against their own interests like that. That, hey, I'm such a partisan, I'll go in the other primary, vote for the weakest guy.
Right.
You know, instead of going, what's best for Illinois?
And also, Pete, there's going to be plenty of other contested Democratic races. So.
Well, statewide, there really isn't. You know, Sheila Simon's probably going to be the only comptroller candidate. Mike Frelichs from Champaign area is probably going to be the only treasurer candidate. Lisa Madigan's going to be the only attorney general. You know, Jesse White and the Tumblers are going to be the only secretary of state.
At the county level, the ballot goes full wide.
Not in Kane County.
No, but they're not.
So,
in Kane
you know, think about it. Look where our listeners.
Where the Democrats
look
are,
where our listeners come from, Jeff. So a lot of our listeners come from suburban Cook. Well, northern suburban Cook is a very Republican. Mm-hmm. The rest of suburban Cook varies all over the map. Mm-hmm. DuPage, very Republican. Kane County, very Republican. McHenry County, very Republican. If you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, why are you voting in the primary? You're not going to have anyone to vote for.
But most dyed-in-the-wool Democrats outside of course, Aurora and Elgin are in Cook County, and there will be contests in which they will want to weigh in.
Well, for some of those local races,
right,
yes.
Absolutely.
But, you know, once you get outside of Cook County, there's probably not a big reason.
There isn't, but there's not a lot of Democrats either. That's changing drastically, but I don't know if there's a big enough block to really affect things in the way Pete is fearful.
Pete, did we answer your question, or would we confuse you even more?
Just one more point.
Go right ahead, Pete.
Do you think that when Dan Walker was elected governor, he defeated the lieutenant governor Paul Simon in the Democratic primary, and didn't he attract Republicans into the Democratic primary and independents to help him defeat Paul Simon, and to spite Mayor Daley? In other words,
there's definitely a component to that, and I argue people are less partisan than some of us political guys think.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
people do switch parties. You know, in Illinois, you don't have to declare a party on primary day.
That's right.
So you could wake up one day and go, I'm a Democrat today. Or you can wake up the next and go, I'm a Republican today. And you legally can do that here in Illinois.
And the funny thing is, Alan, in my formal capacity at the county clerk, I sometimes look over those trends. And a lot of Republicans pulled a Democratic ballot when Barack Obama won. People that had been consistent Republicans. So you're right. I think you're right. I hate to agree with you.
Yeah, people aren't as partisan as we tend to think. I mean, a lot of times they vote for the person they like. And, you know, there are people that, you know, like I always say, there's 20% that are hard left, 20% that are hard right, and then there's everybody else. And even though they might pick a side, it might be the same side year after year, they really are in between.
And the other thing, too, Pete, when someone pulls a ballot that they don't typically pull, that's public knowledge. It's very, we all know that. So some people don't want to be tagged as someone who cross. There's people like me that cross over all the time. But then there's party, I don't want to say diehards, Alan. I'm looking, there's party regulars.
Well, there's also people who, like, they work in a union shop.
Right.
And they don't want to have.
Somebody see they pulled a Republican primary ballot.
Correct.
So there are some safeguards, but you never know. It could happen. I just don't think we have a weak enough Republican candidate.
Pete, who's your candidate?
Personally, I think that people that don't want to have their political affiliation known will not vote in a primary, irregardless whether it's a Democratic primary or the Republican primary. But I think people gravitate to the primary where there's the most action.
Well, it'll be.
I know that people in Chicago aren't going to go out and vote in a Republican primary.
Right.
I understand that. That's right. Not going to happen.
Pete, that's an interesting theory, and it could.
There's most amount of action is interesting, yes.
But Dave Weiser, our producer, asked you, Pete, if you're willing to divulge it, who is your favorite gubernatorial
candidate? Other than Bobo the Chimp.
Yeah.
Personally, I really haven't. I'm kind of undecided right
now. Okay, that's fair.
So you have nobody since Daley left, huh?
No, right. I was not a supporter of Mr. Daley, but I thought he did present an interesting alternative to the incumbent governor, and he would have been a strong candidate. Remember, 4 years ago, Dan Hines came within just a few thousand votes of defeating Pat Quinn in the Democratic primary.
He did.
And he was the incumbent governor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very close. I mean, I think it was closer in the Democratic primary than it was in the general election.
Yeah, I definitely believe that was the case. Right. And even with, Harold Washington's help in that case.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Pete, thank you so much for calling
thank
in
you.
And offering some cogent viewpoints.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was very interesting. And it's another credit to our show is that, you know, we always have listeners that are a little more sophisticated than most.
And
they
are the listeners on the planet.
They are on both sides of the political perspective.
So, and that is interesting. I mean, if somebody like Scott Lee Cohn was in the race, that crossover.
I know that would get you excited.
Oh my God. And again, that kind of crossover.
What if Bruce Rauner picks Scott Lee Cohn?
I'm voting for him, dude.
What about Pat Quinn?
Sorry, Dan. What if Pat Quinn played? Oh, no, sorry.
Would that be the irony of all ironies?
That would be.
To reunite that long-lost couple of Scott Lee Cohn and Pat Quinn.
Do we have another caller, Dave?
Yes, we do. We've got Rick on the phone. Rick wants to either comment or challenge you regarding your comments regarding Bill Daley.
Rick, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, this is Rick.
Rick.
Hey, I wanted to ask your guys' opinion. I like the Governor Quinn, and I thought Bill Daley had a chance to go up against him. And then when I heard all negative comments from Bill Daley and then him quitting the race, I feel like it's a guy who's making negative comments and something that he gave up on. So to me, that's a cop-out, which is making, you know.
So you think Bill Daley,
you know,
you think Bill Daley
a quitter, you know?
You think Bill Daley pulled out of the race because he couldn't take the heat,
or he was a quitter?
Yeah, but I didn't think it. I think it was very thoughtful of him making negative comments about, you know, about his opponent when he's calling him a weak opponent, but Bill Daley never even challenged him.
So yeah, so you're saying that Bill Daley says he's a weak.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, we're gonna your line has a lot of static in it. We're gonna just talk on the air here. But he makes a great point is that, hey, you know, Bill Daley was saying Quinn is horrible. I could beat him. Even in his going away, he said, I could beat him.
Well, yet, what is what he said. I could have won. That's why I quit.
But he didn't. Well, he didn't win. He quit. You know, so he didn't even bother going to the end. But it really goes back to my point.
Right.
And it was to bloody up Quinn, and it was to keep Lisa Madigan out of the race.
Well, Lisa, I'm warming up to your theory, Alan. But as long as her father was Speaker of the House, Lisa Madigan was not running. End of story.
And yeah, but he's been there 40 some years. He could always retire.
She got aggravated that he didn't do it.
So, well, here's the other thing, though, is the week before that she, you know, even a month before she,
I think there's
the race
between
she
them.
Said there was no issue with him being speaker and her being governor.
Oh,
and then, but that's her excuse.
Actions speak louder than words.
I got to blame Democrats on that one. Is they really need to look at what she has done, and just because they like her, has she been effective? Has she been a good attorney general?
I'm not a big Lisa Madigan fan.
I don't see the achievements.
No.
You know, I mean, she hasn't really gone up for mortgage holders or gone up against the banks. She says she has, but she hasn't. I mean, basically, she's done a couple of consumer protection stuff.
The first
stuff. It's not
person
that
she should be investigating is her father.
Well, you know, of course, what she'd say, that's not the job of the attorney general.
I know.
You know, realistically, she's the top law enforcement officer for the state.
Jeez, we're having a
lot. You know, she's not even a really good litigator. I mean, she's never won anything. She's never even gone in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, remember what Joe Burkett, and I told him to his ear, he was a little disingenuous when Lisa won. He goes, congratulations, Lisa, now you're a prosecutor. In essence saying, you have not paid your dues to get here. And she has not been it's a tough gig, I understand.
She's a better politician.
Than she is a prosecutor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the clock is ticking towards the end of the show, Alan. Do you want to re-mention your couple events real quick?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a Republican, Monday, the 23rd September, the Kane County Republican Party is going to be at the Golf Club of Illinois with a big golf event.
And the following Friday, they're honoring.
The following Friday would be the Elgin Republicans having their salute dinner
to Jack Cunningham.
To Jack Cunningham,
County clerk.
But also that anyone, it doesn't, you know, partisan doesn't matter. For the Healing Wall at Dale Borden Library this weekend, to, you know, just remember and, you know, deal with the losses. I mean, you know, it's ironic. You know, obviously I'm young enough not to experience a draft, but my father graduated college. 3 months later, he was drafted in 1964 for Vietnam. It affects a lot of families.
It did. It was a tough war. I've read extensively on it, and I got to give you credit for volunteering there. And folks can find us/me at thefirstward.net.
It's all spelled out, right?
It is all spelled out. They can find us on the Facebook fan page, which, again, might take some. But if you tend to search,
I can give people the URL. So get your pens out, everyone.
That's right.
Facebook.com/groups/LeftRightAndYou. That's right. The actual address.
And where can they find you at Ignore Your Right Wing?
I would say AlanSkillicorn.com, but you know what? I want to spell that one out. No, it's just AlanSkillicorn.com. The blog is very active. There's a lot of hits going on. I get to hammer local, state, and federal issues right. every day.
And I am sure as these coming months progress, we will have every gubernatorial candidate on this show in a round robin.
Or if they want to win, they've got to come in front of our show here.
But I think we'll have a fascinating dialogue with all these candidates.
And thank you to Dan Rutherford for coming on the show.
Yes, he's the treasurer.
Thank you, Dave.
Even though the treasurer is responsible for collecting our taxes, we'll let that one slide.
We can't hold that against him. So until next week, this has been Left, Right, and You, WRMN,
yep.
AM 14.
Listen to the podcast and share it with your friends.
Thank you for listening.
It's in the music. It's in the fun.
Wake up the right way with the WRMN Wake Up Call. Weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on AM 1410. WRMN Elgin.